Retail is a people-driven business. It's a human-to-human element, even though I know there's a digital side to it, but you need to understand the human psyche. And if you're, you know, just want to be behind a keyboard, it's going to be really tough to grow your career in a place where maybe you want it to be if you want to be at a senior level.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we hear from retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, recording on-site at the Javits Center in New York City on the last day of NRF 2023, Retail's Big Show. And today's guest is Chris Hardesty. He's the Senior Vice President of E-Commerce for Kendra Scott. We're going to talk to Chris about his career in retail, how Kendra Scott has grown into a billion-dollar business, and where it's headed in 2023. Chris Hardesty, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here, Bill. You said it, my name, so perfectly.
We worked on that one. So let's first tell us a little bit about your career journey. I mean, how did you end up at Kendra Scott?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been consulting there for the last 8 months. So I got my start in, I started in a totally different industry. So I had 4 years in a semiconductor manufacturing
world.
There
you go.
And really analytical background, a lot of cost analysis, modeling, et cetera. And when my family was looking to get back toward Boston and interviewing at Timberland, and when I got hired, I just instantly fell in love with retail. It was like my thing. It was like, oh my gosh. Went from semiconductors, which I didn't understand anything. I'm like, this is way above my head, to retail, where it just felt like this just fits me. Well, got my start there. So I worked in the brick and mortar side of the business, supporting them in different roles for about 5 years. And then they asked me to take over digital in 2008. And that's where my digital career got started. I was at Timberland for 9 years.
Now, let me just,
yeah.
2008, that was like at the, and I don't want to say at the beginning, but I mean, that was early.
It was early.
For digital.
Yeah. Yeah, Timberland was fun because they were a little bit, they were a very conservative brand, very smart in the sense that they didn't start investing in building out an e-com site until it had a little bit of time to figure out a better financial model.
Right.
And so they made it, it was a profitable business for them from the start, which was not a common thing in 2001 when they started. So yeah, I was able to join there. We were just getting started internationally. So, and honestly, I had a ton to learn. They wanted somebody who understood retail and who got the customer, but ultimately, like the technology and how digital worked, it was a lot for me to take in over the next year.
For sure.
But it was a ton of fun. It was just, I feel so blessed to have had that opportunity. It was very fortunate, right place, right time. And so I was there until just a little bit after they were acquired by VF Corp.
Right.
And then I joined Puma. I was there at Puma for about 6 years, about five and a half, 6 years. Always in digital and just jumping ahead quickly. I'd always wanted to oversee all of direct-to-consumer, so retail stores and e-commerce, and I had my chance to do that at Lacoste.
Oh, nice.
So I was at Lacoste for about just a little over 2 years, running their retail and e-com business. Tons of fun, really great. And then came back to Boston, helped with Clarks for a couple years, and then they were acquired by a private equity firm. And when that happened, I ended up actually starting to consult. And I've been consulting over the last year and a half. More, not really, not something I promote too much, but I kind of just, I've had a through my connections in the industry, a couple people have called me and said, hey, we have a situation where we need to kind of help get the digital business back on the right track.
Right.
I guess it's sort of my sweet spot. I'm happy to come in and sort of lead the team and lead the roadmap and help sort of get things moving in the right direction. And that's what I've been a part of at Kendra Scott for the last 8 months.
Well, you think about it. I mean, look, it's not an easy thing to get your arms around when you talk about e-commerce, the innovations and the technologies that constantly change from, I wouldn't say year to year, I'd almost say month to month, and you've got to stay on top of that. Those that are in it to a very large degree can get consumed by a very specific kind of focus. So to bring in somebody that's been a part of building, been on top of it for as long as you have, makes a tremendous amount of sense.
You know, for me, it's been really great because I'll be honest, I actually thought I'd be at Timberland my entire career. I loved it there. And switching was hard. It was not an easy transition for me to do, but I am really grateful I did it because I've been able to have a wide array of different brands, and you know, whether apparel, footwear, and now accessories or jewelry, where you see a lot of the consistencies and then the uniqueness, right?
Right.
The customer bases, I mean, they are unique in their own rights, but then a lot of the fundamentals are still the same. So you're able to kind of carry that and move it forward. So I will tell you, to your point on technology and keeping up with it, one of the hardest things was when I was at Lacoste was I was very knee-deep in retail. There was a lot of work that came with running physical brick and mortar.
Sure.
And it was really hard to keep up with what was happening in the digital world.
Right.
And literally, as I came out of that after my time there, I was like, man, I got some catching up to do. Like, it was, I was trying to keep up, but,
right.
you know, there's just so many things happening. Things change so quickly.
Exactly.
It's, you know, as you know. So it's been a fun ride.
All right. Well, so introduce us to the Kendra Scott brand for those who may not be familiar with it.
Yeah. So Kendra Scott is a brand based in Austin, Texas. Kendra actually founded the company back in 2002. So it's a 20-year-old brand. I mean, it's an amazing story. She had a book that just recently came out called Born to Shine. Excellent read if people want to read that on sort of her career path. But, you know, she had a failed attempt at retail with a hat store, and she went into jewelry and really found a niche market of trying to design fashion jewelry, a little bit accessible, but a little more upscale than what people could find in the market, and her business just took off. And she started in wholesale, and then when the financial crisis in 2008, she moved more into retail, and they now have 150 some odd stores, a strong digital business, and a wholesale presence. And just an amazing job. I mean, she is a passionate leader. Their CEO, Tom Nolan, is a strong leader. It really helps motivate the team, and they're doing a lot of wonderful things. But above anything else, what I can say about Kendra Scott is the people. Just some really amazing, amazing people that work there that, I mean, just sleep, eat, breathe the Kendra Scott brand and give 110%. It's a culture where you got to be in or it's not for you. And that's what makes it really exciting. And I have learned as much as I have been able to share having worked there.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, the culture is everything, as we know. And if you've got people that are bought into the culture, you've got a success. I mean, and that's where it all begins.
Yeah.
If everybody's on board.
And there are some employees that have been there since the beginning working with Kendra. And they're just go, go, go.
You know, I think of things like jewelry, and I know that they have physical stores, but they do have a very strong online presence. How do they overcome the tactile experience when it comes to buying things like jewelry, where you want to try it on, you want to see how it looks? How do they deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, the one great thing that they've done, they were smart in investing in the things like buy online, pick up in store, BOPIS. They do have, I mean, their store experience, if people who are listening here have not been to one of their stores before, go to one of their stores. They do it. And you are right. That's been the challenge for digital. Is how do we take that store experience and bring it online, because they do such a wonderful job of welcoming you in. They have stylists. So that's sort of been what we're trying to do a better job of with digitally. I mean, we have a great following. People know the brand, love the brand, the styles. And so they know what they want to buy when they come. I think we're still kind of working on how do we bring the elements that you talked about to online. Because things like, I mean, the unique things about jewelry are things like the veins and the stones.
Sure.
Those kinds of things are the sparkle and shine that you get in the store.
Right.
I mean, watching my kids open up, I got them Kendra Scott gifts for Christmas, and watching them open that up and just looking at how beautiful it was, I'm like, yeah, we need to do a better job online of making that even look even better, because their faces, and they were so proud to be wearing them. And yeah, it's a challenge that we're constantly working on, but we're getting better and better, just as everyone in digital is getting better and better at it.
You know, I think the other challenge, and you probably have overcome the challenge, but the other challenge is I don't have a lot of time to be at a store. I don't have a lot of time to drive to the store. So I'm going to go online, I'm going to find what I want, and then I'm going to go to the store and buy it.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned buy online, pick up in store. I don't know that I'd buy it online until I saw it in store, but I know what I want. There's like five things. Are you set up so that what is reflected on the website is also reflected in what's in store?
Yeah, yeah. So everything, and I just want to make sure I clarify what you mean. Certainly everything that when you go online, as far as being able to see whether it's available in store, we let you know if it's
okay,
there.
Okay, all right.
So we have a very good, like we ran some things on Black Friday where we were moving through them at such a high velocity.
Yep.
We actually turned it off. Pick up in store simply because we didn't want to run out for the stores and it was just going so quickly. But yeah, we have it at the style level. So whatever it may be, if it's there, it's there. They do a really good job. And the other thing I'll say about the stores and online too, but stores especially do a fantastic job of like, look, whatever we're going to do, we're going to make it right. If there are any issues or challenges. But no, we haven't had a real issue with things being there when you order them online.
Yeah, I the only reason I asked that question is I think that, and this is, you know, Bill Shopper, that's not necessarily everybody else, but if I were buying something, and again, that desire to see how it looks in person, but I was limited in time, and I just wanted to find it and then go in store and make sure it was right, I would do that more with a jewelry item than I would socks or shoes
anything
else.
That's right.
I would think.
So, yes.
I would also, so if you have the ability to say, I'd look at it and I'd say, oh, it's not in store. I'll find the one that's in store.
Yeah, that's what I'll say. The customer service there is just, it's exceptional.
So that's great.
And also the agents that we hired. There's a wonderful woman named Lindsay Baylor who runs that team, and they just do a fantastic job of just making sure every conversation we have when she comes on is about what are customers bringing up? How do we make adjustments? How do we help make it as seamless as possible? They do a really good job with that.
That's awesome. The brand has exploded on TikTok and social media, which is incredibly important. And a whole lot more of us heard about Kendra Scott in the Bama Rush videos that went viral in 2021. Can you talk about what social media means for the Kendra Scott business?
Yeah, there are certainly folks there that I could speak to it much more eloquently than I could, but it is a very important element of the Kendra Scott brand. I mean, to your point, that age group, that age demographic has really embraced the brand. It speaks to the brand, women-founded, woman-run, single mom who really just, you know, grew a business into an amazing, it's just an amazing story. And quite honestly, I think there are folks that don't even know who Kendra Scott is. They just love the jewelry. They're able to accessorize it with their school colors. And it was fun, you know, to watch. So the first year, right, it just happened organically and it kind of came to the brand. And now they've really, you know, it's been a great embracement of that. And over the last year plus, it's been, you know, we always talk about Bama Rush or you know, it's really Sorority Rush Week. But it is a part of our marketing discussions now. It's such a big thing, and they do an amazing job.
Yeah, Bama Rush, I can only imagine what Bama Rush looks like. I went to an SEC school, and I was always there in the summer, and to watch Rush actually take place is a sight to behold.
Well, it was just funny how it became Bama Rush, right? Because it was like all the Bama stuff was getting fed everywhere. Like it was like Bama was going national. So it became Bama Rush as opposed to Sorority Rush Week. But yeah, really, really fun, really
good,
fun environment.
Good to know Bama's known for something other than football.
Other than football.
You know, when you talk about areas of focus for 2023, what would those be, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's a couple of things, right? One is you got to look at the economic environment and trying to navigate that, right? We were having some conversations yesterday, just in general, not at Kendra, I mean, as a digital group. And, you know, 2023, it's like, is it going to be the first normal year in the last 3 years or 4 years? I don't know that there will ever be another normal year, but the questions of how's the economy going to perform? You know, I think everybody's trying to be a lot smarter in where their investments are, making sure that they're ROI positive. No different there. We're focused on things, really continuing to optimize the mobile experience. That's always going to be a top priority there. Consumer engagement, how we make the customer experience stronger online from a service level. But there are some initiatives we are undertaking that, I mean, I can't speak to in too many details, but that are going to be really, really help even change the way that we offer the site online. So I'm excited for those kind of things as they come. Yeah.
I would think that again, to your point, what's the normal? And I actually had this conversation with a CEO of a pretty large retailer. And I said that during the COVID experience, we always talked about what's the new normal going to be? What's the new normal? And his contention was there is no, in retail, there's no normal.
Yeah.
He said it changes so rapidly that what's not normal is no change. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, if you want to see what the new normal is, well, it's now the normal because that's the way we operate.
Yeah, you know, it's totally right. You know, I think when people talk about the normal, I think what they mean more often than not is sort of when they talk about their financial budgeting and forecasting process.
Yeah.
It's like you can't look at the last year and say, okay, here are some things I think might adjust here or there.
Right.
With what happened in 2020, 2021, like looking at that year as a baseline for traffic and online performance, it was just so hard to do. You kind of felt blind going into it. And I had a hunch in like June, July timeframe, I had this hunch that holiday was going to be delayed, right? Because
right.
We had such a overwhelming media campaign around supply chain. You need to buy now in
right.
October. If
yep.
you don't buy, you're not going to get it. And a lot of the talk, even in 2022, was, you know, holiday continues to get earlier and earlier. And I had this just sinking feeling like, I don't know. Like, if you don't really communicate to the customer that urgency, people like to hold. There's always a little bit of, like, I don't know what Black Friday promo is going to be, but I want to make sure I get it at the best.
Right.
And so we saw that this year, right? I mean, I think everyone was panicking October and November, mid-November in retail. It was, I mean, it was as bad as I have ever seen. Like, across, you know, people I've talked to, it was really rough and it was scary. And I continued to hold on to the fact that it will get better, right? I just had this sinking feeling. And, you know, as soon as Black Friday hit, I think people really just said, okay, we're going to go. And customers really finally started to buy and started to buy in a big way. And, and things came back a lot. But it was October and November for all of retail, but I think for digital leaders who saw digital just boom the year before, it was a pretty scary 6 weeks.
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting observation. And I think that part of it is that, you know, the consumer's fickle. I mean, you think you know where they're going. They tell you where they think they're going, but they might not necessarily get there.
No.
And so, but what you do know is, there will be a holiday, there will be gifts bought, and they will buy them.
Yeah.
And it's the when, and it's the where, and it's the how much they're willing to spend. That's what really drives it forward. The other thing we've got, Chris, I think, is we've had all of these years, the last couple of years, of really strong growth within retail. And that's going to come to an end at some point in time. And where it's going to go back to is where it kind of existed pre-pandemic. And that's in the 4 to 6 or the 3 to 5. And people, I think, are going to, and especially the media, who loves to look for the darkest clouds in the horizon, whether they exist or not, will say, you know, oh, retail, decline in retail, decline in sales. Make it sound like that there's a huge problem, when in fact there's not.
Yeah.
We're just going back to the model that worked previously. So anyway, my soapbox gone. I want to ask you two more questions, if
yeah,
I may.
Yeah.
One is, what is the best piece of career advice for those just starting in retail?
The best piece of career advice I can give is, don't isolate yourself to a home role or a remote role. Really, I the best thing that I ever did in retail, first off, that didn't exist, obviously, when I was doing that, but it's when you get into retail, you need to spend a lot of time learning all the different aspects of retail, right? It's not just store operations, it's merchandising, it's planning and allocation, right? It's, and now digital, right, which is something that, and marketing, all these different things. And honestly, the best way to learn is developing relationships with peers and those in others and other areas, and asking questions,
right,
just being naturally curious. And when you're home or on Zoom, whatever it may be, you don't get to do any of that.
Right.
And so, anybody who's, you know, if you want to be in retail, retail is a people-driven business. It's a human-to-human element, even though I know there's a digital side to it, but it really is. You need to understand the human psyche to be able to understand how to sell to them. And if you're, you know, just want to be behind a keyboard, it's going to be really tough to grow your career in a place where maybe you want it to be if you want to be at a senior level.
That's a fantastic observation as well. And I agree with it 110,000%. And I accuse myself of just being a troglodyte that believes that in order to be your best, you should be together.
I think that's shifting. Honestly, the media, everybody's like, everybody's going to be remote. I really think it's starting to shift now, especially as, like, right, as the economy gets tighter, people are like, look, we need to be here.
Yeah.
You're way more productive. So like our team, we come in certain days because it just, when I started there, you could feel a little bit of disconnect between the team members, and it's helped them a lot, and it's helped me. I feel like I'm connected to them in a way that I wasn't.
So the last question is, what is the best piece of career advice that you were given?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know how I would answer that. I think what I would say is the best compliment. Let me answer the best compliment. I'm going to totally dodge your question. I'm not going for political.
I'm from Washington, D.C. I'm used to that.
Is that learning how to say no without people feeling like you're saying no. Like,
right.
And somebody said, you know, that's sort of like one thing that you do pretty well. And that's where he sort of said, hey, that's something I can see you as kind of, as you get more senior in your career, you need to learn how to say no. But, you know, you need to spend time connecting with people and thinking about them. I observe so many people in the space who are even in a leadership position or in mid-level positions who yet really don't put themselves in the other person's shoes and say, how are they perceiving it? Because this is how I'm saying it, so they should perceive it this way. And ultimately, you need to think about that. And I think that's something that's helped me immensely, is always working across other groups, right? Like, sometimes digital has a reputation of kind of thinking it's like it's, you possibly can't understand this special ecosphere that we live in, where we have a certain terminology and everything's a little more technical, and everybody gets scared of technical when they're not in you know, IT or in e-commerce. And in reality, you can demystify that a lot. And I think if you really try to, look, if I didn't understand this, what would simplify it for me? Okay, well, let me explain it to them this way. And it helps a lot. And that kind of relationship building has helped me. a lot in my career.
Awesome. Chris Hardesty, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thanks, Bill.
Really do appreciate it. And I hope you've enjoyed the big show.
I have. It's been awesome. I look forward to next year.
Yeah. And it's always easy to say on the last day, so do I. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about this episode at retailgetsreal.com. I'm Bill Thorne from the Javits Center in beautiful New York City on the last day of NRF 2023, Retail's Big Show. Thanks for listening, and until next time.